Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to What's in Your Glass. I'm your host, Carmelo Anthony. Before we get going, let's first welcome today's guest. You know him as a Pro Football Hall of Famer and Super Bowl champion who played his entire, 15 years, right?
Yeah,
15-year career with the New York Giants. And if that's not enough, you also know him for his work on Good Morning America as the host of a $100,000 pyramid and one of the faces of Fox's NFL coverage. And plenty of other things. We can go on and go on and go on. But safe to say, you know this, man. We all know this, man. Please welcome to the show, Michael Strahan.
What's up?
If I had, the noise in the background, I would give you, some extra noise.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's all good, man. That's all good, bro. It's always good to see you. You give me an excuse to drink something during the week.
I like that. So speaking on that, on today's show, I'm drinking a 1999 Clos Vougeot Grand Cru. What are you drinking, Mike? What's in your glass?
I am drinking a 2013 Pinot Noir from my girl Christy Kerr. You know, Christy Kerr is a professional golfer. And Christy always keeps me up to date and always sends me some nice wines, man. So I'm drinking a bottle of her 2013 vintage.
Absolutely. Shout out to Christy and cheers. Cheers to you, Mike, for sure.
Cheers to you, man. Mm. Oh, that's good.
This is actually really good. I'm gonna let it open up a little bit as we go on with the show, but this is actually really good.
When I'm on GMA tomorrow and I'm like, well, yeah, slurring my words, I'm gonna blame you.
That's why you go with the Pinot Noir. It's easy.
Yeah, no, I can't. Hey, I was saying, I drink. You know that wine, man. You get too much. When you gotta read, that brain is not catching up with your mouth. Your mouth is not catching up with your brain. And your people going, oh, he must have took too many shots to the head on the football field. That brother's losing it. I can't have that.
we're not gonna have that. You sip as we go. That's it. You sip as we go. Let's get into it, Mike. I first have to congratulate you as it was recently announced that they would be retiring your jersey. Finally, like, what the hell? Number 92 is it November 28th at MetLife?
November 28th, MetLife against the Philadelphia Eagles. The one team, man, that won, you know, they got that one. That's the one for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The announcement actually happened on Good Morning America. As your former teammates, Eli Manning, Jesse Armstead, and Justin Tuck surprised you to make the announcement. First off, what was the moment of surprise like? Because I mean, that should have been happened. And secondly, what would your emotions be like seeing your jersey retire for such a story team?
I'll be honest with you. I agree with you. It should have happened a long time ago. Nobody worn it. And it's hard to even believe. I haven't played in like 14 years, man. But no one's worn it. I thought it would happen a while ago, but I was happy when it finally did happen because it kind of cements your legacy with the team, cements your legacy with the city, that no one else will ever wear that jersey. And it's not an ego thing. It's like almost like the ultimate respect to me for the 15 years that I played here in New York, which is, as you know, the tough place to play, all for one team, man. And we weren't always great teams. So it was the ultimate respect. And then to have Eli pop out of a box have Jesse and Justin, those guys show up. It surprised me. They're lucky I didn't curse on national TV. Like, what the?
or tackle one of them. You should have tackled one of them.
Eli wearing the number 92. I was like, I was wearing my jersey. Like, oh, yeah, just, y'all tripping. They must have really did something to get you guys to do that. But it was a great surprise because, you know, I love the guys. You know, you're on the team. And you're still on the team. But the one thing that I miss is I just miss being around the guys every day, that camaraderie, that talking smack, and just living, man. You kind of never have to grow up in certain ways. And but it was good to have those guys there to surprise me, man. That was very fitting for the moment.
Absolutely. Congratulations again on that. Moving on, you are part of Fox's NFL coverage, as we all know, on both Thursday nights as well as the Sunday pregame show. Mm-hmm. Like how? Cause that shit is a lot. Like you got your morning show, you got Fox, you got Thursday, Sunday. It's a lot, but you do it. How do you handle such a heavy workload? Like I'm trying to learn that. I'm getting better at that. But also, how do you prepare to host those and be prepared with stats and the knowledge for all the NFL teams? Because it's a lot of information that you got to intake.
It's a lot of information that you have to take in, but it's a lot of information. I've learned this: only take in what I need, and don't rely on stats too much. That's the one thing I learned at Fox. Because if you look at we've been in the locker room, we've been on the field, we've been out there with the coach, we've been in the middle of the game. So the fan doesn't want to necessarily hear exactly what they can get by just Googling something. They want to hear our perspective from being on the inside, which that you can't teach. Well, you have to actually be there. So I and us guys at Fox, we have a little thing like, okay, who's going to rely on stats today? And it's like a joke because we don't want to rely on stats. We want to rely on just your enjoyment of the game, what you know about the game, what you feel about the game at that time. Just throw it out there. And of course, there's a stat here and there. But with everything that I do, I've learned to compartmentalize, man. Like if I know I have GMA during the week, I focus on GMA during the week. And when I have Thursday night football, when I leave GMA in the morning, I come home, I work out, I take a nap. And then I wake up and I read my stuff for Thursday night football, and then I do that. And then for Sunday football, I worry about that pretty much on a Friday or Saturday. Like, I only look into stuff when I need to know it. And pretty soon, after the show was over, you can ask me about the show, and I'm looking at you like, oh, damn, they were on the show today? Like, I don't remember nothing. Woo, when I don't need it, it goes out the door because – only so much useless information or information I can have in my head at one point.
Absolutely. And do you think that comes from just being an athlete and the way that you got to compartmentalize, you know, information and games, and it's always on to the next, and this is happening, that's happening. You're on defense, you got to know the offense. Like, do you think that's a key factor in that as well?
Oh, absolutely. You can't compartmentalize in football. You or in sports, period. You can't. You won't be successful. And it's just no different having a bad play or missing a shot, or for me, missing a sack or missing a tackle. If I worried about it any longer than the next time they showed up, then I'm going to be in trouble. You just got to stay in that moment, whatever that moment gives you, good and bad, and just be indifferent to mistakes and also be indifferent to success because you did well one play, the next play is right there too. So you learn not to get the ups and downs, but compartmentalize, it definitely came from sports. I had no idea how to do it beforehand. And I just, you know, learned watching like Lawrence Taylor my rookie year, watching him on the sideline and then going on the field and being a completely different guy. For me, I'd have my friends come to the game, give them sideline passes. They stay down there and watch the game from the sideline and sit next to me at the bench. And I got my helmet down, you know, sitting on the ground. I'm talking to them. Yeah, you know, and talking about something so unrelated to sports. And then they'll say, defense, I'll be like, hold on, I'll be right back. Give my helmet, put it on, go out there, and be like, ooh, laser? Laser, what I got to do, come back, helmet, and pick up the conversation. But I love that. That's one thing I kind of, I absolutely love being able, and I learned how to, I'm not going to say master, but pretty much master the art of compartmentalizing and preserving energy for and thoughts for what I needed at that time. And that's pretty much what it is. And also, you know, well, you got so much going on, man.
I know. I'm asking you because I get to get it from a different perspective now.
have so much going on too that I don't know. I need to know my schedule when I wake up. Like the night before, I look at my phone. I look at my schedule, see what's on it, because I have to mentally prepare for that much energy for the day.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Totally, I agree with that.
And it's a different type of energy. There's the energy of, oh, I got to go photo shoot. I got interviews. I got this. I got that. Okay, I got to be ready. It's a long day. Then there's the energy of, okay, I got to go to work. But then after work, I don't have nothing for a while, or I have one thing. But then, oh, I'm playing golf or hanging with my boys. That is a different type of energy for me. So I have to know my schedule the day or so ahead, man, and kind of just understand when I wake up how much of energy it's going to take to get through that day. I can't go into things blindly. Just throws me off.
No, I can't do that either. I agree. I'm with you on that. My schedule, I need to see it the day before. Mm-hmm. I need to already kind of mentally prepare myself for how I'm going to move. You know, how much time I'm going to spend here, when I'm leaving. When I'm going to eat, when I'm going to drink. I just need to, you know, I need all of that intact for sure the night before.
But the worst thing, though, how many times have you said, yeah, I'll do it because you're feeling good, right? And then it gets there, you're like,
man, please, somebody else do it, please.
Like a good time. Damn.
Honestly, that happens more often than not. I'll tell you that, especially with me. We'll stay away from predictions in football. But what are some of the things you're looking forward to as the season gets going?
Obviously, the Buccaneers are the best team in the NFL. They brought back every starter, but the thing is, it's so hard to repeat, and a lot of times it's difficult to repeat. Not because your team's not good. It's difficult to repeat because the guys who won the Super Bowl the last time, each one feel like they're the reason you won.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, well, you got to start believing they're more important than the team. And so I think the only benefit is having Tom Brady in that moment, because he can be like, yo, reel it in. I've seen it. I've been there. I don't have 7 rings because I thought I was more important than the team. So hopefully that helps. So I think that, you know, Tampa is going to be the one team that I'm going to keep my eye on, just see how they do. I think that the Cowboys are interesting. I hate to say it because it's Cowboys.
That's eating you up right now.
It's eating me up, man. It's eating me up. I got a lot of friends who are Cowboy fans, but and I don't know why they're friends, to be honest with you. But I'm intrigued by the Cowboys because I kind of drink the Kool-Aid that Jerry Jones pours every year saying the Cowboys are going to be great. He's been saying it for over 20 years, and I've been waiting. But with Dak, if he stays healthy in the way they were playing before he got hurt, I think the Cowboys are legit. Of course, Kansas City is strong. But the sleeper team, man, kind of like going to creep up on some people, Buffalo.
Yes.
Last year they woke people up. Buffalo, Josh Allen, Buffalo was tough, good defense, everything, just a tough team. And Tennessee. You know, Tennessee's gonna be tough too.
Buffalo's been building over the past couple years, man. To see where they are now. I mean, they got a number one defense right now, I think. Yeah.
And they're young and hungry. That's what I like.
Usually when you get those type of teams, young, hungry, ready to go, you'll have success. I don't know what success, but you'll have some type of success. But I wish I'm a Ravens fan by heart. I'm a Michael Strahan fan.
Appreciate you.
Absolutely. So I love the game of football. I just love to watch it. You know, I get that same energy that we were just talking about, the meetings, preparing for the next day. That's how I feel on Saturdays.
Oh, me too. And I'm not sleeping on the Ravens, by the way. Lamar Jackson, one of my favorite players, one of the most exciting players ever at the quarterback position, man. Ever. And this kid got passed over from all these teams thinking he can't throw the ball. He can't do this. He can't do that. I don't care. The cat wins the game.
That's all that
matters.
And
now they see he can throw the ball. He can do everything. So I like the Ravens a lot. And they're a hard-nosed team. Harbaugh has those guys playing like old school, you know, just tough football. And that's what I think gets lost. Is that, you know, get a lot of teams that are very finesse.
Right.
And you have some good teams out of the Rams. Rams are going to be good, I think, with Stafford and all that stuff. But I think at the end of the day, and Aaron Donald is my favorite player to watch. But it's going to be just interesting to see who can stay healthy. And I think at the end of the day, football's physical.
Absolutely.
You can't be a finesse team. I feel, and really like run through everybody to win a Super Bowl. Yeah. You got to eventually got to toughen up a little bit.
Indeed, indeed.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So moving away from football a little bit, since you retired, you've evolved into like, you know, just a serious, I would say, journalist, right? Especially with your work as a co-host on Good Morning America. Like, for example, you sat down exclusively with the officer, Jonathan Mattingly, one of the officers involved in the Breonna Taylor case. That special recently won a Peabody Award. You also sat down with President Barack Obama in honor of Juneteenth, and big shout out to Juneteenth as well, and discussed race, resilience, and just power of hope. Like, did you always want to break into serious journalism after your playing career?
Mello, I just wanted to get a job, man. when I retired from football, I was like, okay, I know I can do this football thing. And I had the most roundabout way of getting anything. I senior year of high school, I played football. So football was kind of a weird way of getting into it. Daytime television was a weird way of getting into it because I don't think anybody thought I was ever going to get that job with Kelly replacing Regis. And GMA came out of nowhere. And they asked me, and I said no, because I just didn't see myself doing what I do now. And I think that at that point, I was in a lot of ways willing to put limits on myself. I was willing to not try something out of fear of failing at it without really giving it a legit shot, even though obviously they thought I could do it. And I just did not see it in my, I didn't see it in my life, man. I just didn't think that I could come across as that guy. But I will tell you this, the more, I've been there now crazy enough 7 years. And in that 7 years, I've had the opportunity to do some of the most amazing things, interview some amazing people, interview and talk about some, you know, things that stretch across the country and mean a lot to this country, like the interview with Jonathan Mattingly and the President Obama. And those things make me realize that I would have shortchanged myself by saying no and by not doing it. And now I love that part of it more than I enjoy the other softer side of it. I love the information. I love understanding more about politics. I understand more about what's going on every day in the world. And that's what it makes the job interesting to me, is that it changes every day.
Right.
And, you know, and I get an opportunity to interview people in the middle of some of the most intriguing things that are going on in the country. And I'm just happy that I can represent and do it well enough that it's respected. And to win the Peabody was, I didn't quite understand how important the Peabody was. But they're like, it's like the Super Bowl of journalism. I'm like, oh, I get it now. I didn't know before that. My producer called me and she's, I'm on the plane flying to meet her to do an interview. And she's crying. And I'm like, oh, what happened? I couldn't understand it, like one of my kids. I'm like, what's wrong? Like, we want a Peabody. I said, you know what? Thank you. Congratulations. I'm very happy. But don't you ever call me crying like that ever again. But then I understood how the magnitude of it, and it makes me extremely proud, because I feel like for some reason God has blessed me with the opportunity to do what I do and to kind of be an example, not just to athletes, but to people in general, that, you know, for athletes, the athlete can do more than just play sports. First of all, we're smart. We have the opportunity to do other things. And two, that as a person, you have an opportunity to do more than one thing. You don't have to limit yourself to just what your first job may be or what your primary job may be. You can always pivot and do other things as long as you just go into them wholeheartedly and do your best. You got a chance to succeed at them. So, yeah, it's been one hell of a ride, man. And hopefully it's not over, at least for a few more years.
Yeah, you're good. You're sitting in the driver's seat. I'll tell you that. But speaking on, you said something about us as athletes. Like we're more than that. You know, mm-hmm. that's our job. That's not who we are. And I always try to explain that to people. That, you know, I play basketball, I play sports, but that's not who I am. That's my job. So try to separate the two. But everybody want to put that into one bucket. Because of that, what were some of the challenges you had to face as a former athlete trying to just break into, like, you know, harder hitting news? You know, what was there any resistance from your establishment or that establishment at first because of you as an athlete?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that for GMA, I think they did a good job of easing me into it. But sometimes the process was a little too slow for me, where I kind of felt like it was just such the same rhythm every day that I wasn't necessarily stretching at all. But once I voiced that, they were like, okay, you think you're ready to take on more responsibility? Here's a little more. And then after a while, here's a little more. And I realized it is the hardest thing I've ever done, man. This journalism stuff is hard, brother. It was much easier to look at a tape and figure out some opponent's tendencies and kind of anticipate what was going to happen on the football field. It was much easier doing daytime television where you're just personality driven. This is knowledge driven. It is factually driven, and it's a lot of pressure in all of that. And so this is by far the hardest thing that I've ever done, but also in a lot of ways, the most fulfilling thing I've ever done personally in the world of TV, because this is probably the thing that people expected me to do the least. And to be able to do it and prove that it can be done was helpful. And they explained, ABC did a great job explaining to me when I resisted coming why they wanted me. It's because the world is a very diverse place and the world is different. I mean, the world looks different. People look different. This isn't the world that we know from back in like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, where it was the newscaster, he sits there like that and he's serious the whole time. Like they want their news from a diverse group of people, diverse background, diverse looks. And I feel like I was just in the right place at the right time to fill that void, that niche. And I'm glad to see, you know, other guys, Nate over there at CBS now. Nate just got a job. I'm happy to see that, man. Akbar, Bajabi and Mila just got the job. And these are guys that I talked to and spend time with. And Akbar was just here a few months ago. We were talking about potential offer of this job that he just got. And I'm so proud for these dudes, man. These brothers have really worked really hard when people haven't been paying attention to them to get where they are now. And I
again, absolutely. Yeah,
and there's room for all of us. You know, there's enough room for all of us to do this and make an impact. So, like I said, it's just great to see other guys come about, and it's great to understand that ABC rolled me the right way. They put me out there just enough. And now they, right. I think what really helped me was the pandemic. When Robin and George weren't in there, and I had to sit in the center seat at that desk and throw to them and control the show, it showed that, okay, he's ready, really ready for this. And I thank them for trusting me with that, because it's a big responsibility and a big show for the network.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
ESPN Plus, I would say that, announced season 2 of It's Uninterrupted, More Than an Athlete. And they're gonna focus on you this year, or this season.
Yeah.
The four-part season will dive into your journey, beginning with your childhood in Germany. But that's going deep too. Speaking about your childhood in Germany, and following you through the football, through your football career, and evolution into a media personality and entrepreneur, highlighting your successes and failures along the way. Break it down for us. Like, how did this project come about?
Well, Maverick and LeBron, those guys reached out to us and said, hey, would you consider being a part of season two of More Than an Athlete? And after watching what they did with LeBron, of course I want to be a part of it. So my production company teamed up with Spring Hill and we decided to do it. And we've been filming and now we have all the episodes are locked and coming out on the 9th. So it's going to be great, man. And it was really weird in a sense to be asked when you get asked to do that, because I'm kind of low key. I mean, I know what I do may not be, but I'm like a low key dude. I'm not really out and about and I know everybody, but I'm not like somebody who's like hanging out. Would I like to hang out more? Yeah, absolutely. But so it was an honor for me to get that call from those guys to say, hey, we want you to be the guy for season two, especially following up LeBron, who we all know his career and his life and his trajectory. And it was deep, man, because I've been married twice and four kids. My first ex-wife is on there, you know, talking about our relationship and growing up in Germany and us being kids and having kids. And she's one of my best friends now. So just to see her talk about me in a way in which I've never heard before was like, whoa, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
To go back and talk about when I got divorced the second time. And that was the darkest time of my life. But like to go back through that was rough. But also I did it with people who were in my life at that point who were the most important and pivotal people who helped me get through it. So it was just interesting to sit there with them and kind of get their side to what they saw me going through, but yet having my opinion of what I went through. To have my mom involved, have my uncle involved, who was there when I left my parents in Germany. I lived with my uncle, who used to take me in the front yard and beat me up to teach me how to play football because he had played. I mean, you know, your uncle don't know how to his own strength. And he's like 6'7", 275 pounds, slapping me around the front yard, man. I had to get you ready. He was just out here just beating me up because he felt like it. They ain't getting me ready for nothing. But to have him be a part, have my mom, Robin and George, I'm a GMA family, man, and most of all, to have my dad who passed away, you know, a little bit over a year ago, to have video of my dad, and like that got me. Like, I'm not a crier, but I ain't gonna lie to you. That got me, man. That got me. So he did a fantastic job with it. I hope everybody enjoys it, sees it, they're inspired by it, because I think, you know, a lot of people look at my story and they probably think it was easy. They think I went to some big college and, you know, he was a high pick. I went to HBCU. You know, I didn't study to play football. I didn't study to be a journalist. I didn't study to be a daytime talk show host or game show host. Well, I just figured it out. And that's a great story in life. You always end up, you may end up in a place in which you never expected to be, but when you're there, you figure it out if there's somewhere you want to stay. And I've done that.
Where you come from, I speak on everybody as a whole. Where we come from can have such an impact on who we become in this world, I think. Earlier this week, I published my own memoir, Where Tomorrows Aren't Promised, which is largely a reflection of how kind of my roots, the experiences of my upbringing, and the people that raised me influence who I am today. How would you say your roots influence you?
Oh, man. I mean, my mom is funny, loving, stay out of your business. Like, you're an adult. You figure your life out. Like not meddling. Like, you kind of taught me to stay and learn about my own business. Somebody else, let them do their thing. Like, I don't get all wrapped up in other people's stuff. And I support people, man. And my parents were very, like, very inclusive. So if you came over to the house, or if my dad saw you in the street, next thing you know, he's giving you his business card, inviting you to come stay with him when you come down to Texas. I mean, he's one of those dudes. But my dad was also a military man, a major in the Army, 82nd Airborne Division, master jumper, like, you couldn't accomplish any more than he accomplished coming from where he came from. And but he was one of these guys who just would do the go to max on everything. Like I'm one of these guys, I buy something, I don't read the manual. You buy the computer, you read the whole damn computer manual. Sitting on the toilet. I'm like, dude, first of all, you're gonna have hemorrhoids sitting on the toilet that long. And secondly, boy, you're not gonna use all those features on that computer, man. Just figure out what you need. But he was just to the max on everything that he did. But he was also very disciplined, but he was a great father where he did everything with us. And if there's some things his kids couldn't go with him, he wouldn't go. There were trips like fishing trips or whatever, he wouldn't go. My kids can't go, I'm not going. I'll take them myself. So I've just learned that how to be a good friend, how to be a responsible person, how to be a hardworking person, how to mind my own business, and how to be a supportive person to everybody who needs me from my parents, because that's what they were. That's what they were. What my mom is still is to this day, and what the legacy that my dad left.
You have a clothing line and, oh, yeah, some exciting things going. Yeah, you have a clothing line, some exciting things going on with Men Warehouse. What can you tell us about that partnership?
Oh, it's been fantastic, man. I mean, we got our partnership with Men's Warehouse. So tailored clothing, suits, athleisure clothing. We've got everything there. And we just announced today about our men's skincare line that we are coming out with. So we're very excited about the partnership with them. They've been fantastic and very supportive. And we're trying to slowly increase the amount of categories in which we're in, because we've always been very strategic in what we've done and only have done things that actually are real and fit, because I don't want to do anything that really isn't me. So I don't want to like put something out there and then I got to support something or act as if I like it. That's not authentic. And I think the public sees through that very easily. So we've just done things that have been very authentic to us. And you see that smooth skin? Yeah. Yeah, brother, that's 50 years old, almost 50 years old right there, man.
That's the GMA glow right there.
I got that glow. But yeah, man, it's been great. And one thing we did last week or so, man, I'm very, very proud of my brother Deion Sanders, first of all, for taking over.
Absolutely. I was just about to speak on that, too.
Yeah. So Deion came and said, hey, man, I got this team. I want them to look good, because you know how I look. You look good, you feel good, you feel good. You play good, they pay good. That's Deion's thing. But in his thing, he's like, I want them to feel that way and know that. But even if they don't get paid playing football, get paid in the world of business, because they're confident in how they look. So he came to us. He designed these suits for our brand, for the whole Jackson State University football team and coaches. And I'm very proud to like support him, because these kids are coming from where I came from. And I'm glad he went there to bring more light to HBCUs and the SWAC conference where I went to school. And I just connected with the head coach of my alma mater, Texas Southern University, about it. My buddy Eddie George, Heisman Trophy winner, you know, big old Eddie hit me up and about suit for Tennessee State, where he's now the head coach. And I just love that, you know, the sense of community that in a lot of ways, I don't know if we necessarily had it before, but we seem to be getting it back or getting it now. And we, you know, want to help each other, man. And I think that's important, because sometimes I feel personally like we get to the point of where you feel successful enough to where you feel you isolate yourself, right?
Right.
Feel too cool to be a part of that or to talk to that person, or I hate when I see somebody who I know who's cool, but then you see them in certain settings, they're a different person. Be yourself with me 24/7. Like, I see you, so love. I see you, I'm so love. You see me and I'll see you, come on over. If I see you and you don't see me, or you see me, I'm gonna come to you. It's not about
one up and like who's bigger and better. It's about sincerely and authentically just looking out for each other, because we need it, man. We need to show that we can do that for other people to see
All right. So that they support each other where we come from.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would have been remiss not to mention that that you did that for Deion, man, and outfitted Deion Sanders' team at JSU. Like from your collection, like that's major, that's big, that's supporting one another. And that's also leading by example. So I want to congratulate you on that as well.
We need to get Deion on your show. But Deion doesn't drink.
Deion, so. I need you, baby. I need you.
Yeah,
I need
Deion,
you. Come
we
on,
gotta get Deion on here. Deion doesn't drink. Deion drinks water, but that's fine, a soda, whatever. But I will say when we did those suits for Deion and the team, Deion likes his extra tight in the crotch area. I don't know why. Maybe he can come on here and explain that to me.
Yeah, he could come on here, but I don't think I want to hear that. But he could come on here.
And that's a running joke, man, because he's always messing with me every time, man. I mean, I get these texts when I'm on set, like, dude, leave my suit alone. Nobody's trying to hear you right now.
That's how Prime is. You know that. That's how he is all day long. We're gonna bring it so close, man. We're gonna all bring it all back though to what's in your glass. You're doing big things and you're a busy man, but I just have a few quick questions for you to close us out. And me and the people, we just have to know what's in your glass on some special occasions. It doesn't have to be labeled specifically, but what's your go-to when you're on the beach on vacation with your family?
I'll be honest with you. I'm very simple on the beach and vacation. A nice Aperol spritz with a pinch of fresh, not this can, model, carton, fresh orange juice, man. Fresh, got to be fresh. And that champagne got to be right. You know, you can't have some weak, like, dead stuff in there. Either, like, been open for a week, like, fresh. That's my drink.
That's very specific. That's very, a splash, a little, that's very specific. You're out to dinner on a date night at a nice restaurant.
You know, my girl loves wine, so we will have wine on a date night.
Okay.
So I'll do that. I'll let her pick the bottle. Or a lot of times, I'm a big tequila guy as well.
Tequila?
Man, you name it. I got it. I got a bar. Okay. My man cave is full of tequilas. When you're back on the East Coast, you let me know. We'll go over there and we will just sample, because I got a little thing I do with my buddy who comes over like once every 2 weeks. We sit in my man cave. And we light up cigars and we sample tequilas, whiskeys, everything, you name it. And just buy different bottles, man, and just try them all out. And it's just time for us to bond, chill, talk.
Absolutely.
Just hang out.
I'm a tequila guy. I'm a tequila guy, too. I'm gonna give you a name of tequila.
What do you like? Give me something.
Addictivo.
Addictivo?
Addictivo. Really? Yes, it's a Ultra Añejo and a double Reposado. It's amazing. They only sell it in Mexico.
Addictivo. Okay, I'm on that.
I have one here. I'm gonna get it to you ASAP. I have one here at the house. I'm gonna give it to you ASAP.
Well, I don't want to take your last tequila, man.
No, I'm gonna give it. I'm gonna make sure you get it. I'll make sure you get it.
All right. I'll
make sure you get it.
Okay, I'll let you know what I think, but I'm a big tequila
Absolutely.
Guy.
Absolutely.
And you know you send me some tequila, I'm going to have to send you some tequila back. I just want you to know that.
That's fine. That's fine with me. That's fine with me.
That was too easy. You're supposed to be like, no, nah, man.
I'm open. Listen, you send me the tequila, we good. I'm going to send you one, you send me one, we good. We even.
All right, we good.
You're celebrating the jersey being retired in November.
Woo!
What's your go-to? What's in your glass?
I think for that, because there's going to be so many people there with me, I don't want to get so out of it that I forget where the heck I am. We're just going to raise some champagne, man. You know?
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Raise some champagne.
Maybe what champagne?
I got a case of Ace of Spades, right?
Okay.
Gold bottle. I it's so pretty. I got it from, man. And I'm not dropping names or throwing no name, but this is the biggest thrill. I got this like 9 years ago. That's how long I've had this champagne, man. From Oprah.
Oh.
When I got the
Oprah's
job.
Oprah gave me gold bottles out.
Yeah, Oprah gave me a case of the gold bottle, man, when I got the job at Live. And I have not opened it, not because I didn't want to, but I'm like, man, this Oprah gave me this. You can't use nothing that Oprah gave. You got to preserve it. So when the jersey ceremony happens, I'm going to pop open a gold bottle from Oprah.
And make sure you tell her, make sure you tag her, tell her thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Mike, man, thanks so much for joining me for a glance, man. Best of luck with everything you have going on right now. And thank you to the audience for tuning in this week. Please follow, rate, review. You know the deal. What's in Your Glass on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast at. You can also check out the video releases each week on YouTube. Mike, it's been a pleasure. It's been an honor, as always, family. Thank you, my brother. Keep doing what you're doing. You know you got me here when you need me, brother. That tequila is coming to you soon.
Tivo, I look forward to it. Melo, thank you, as always, man. I look forward to the next time, my brother.
Absolutely, baby. I appreciate you.
Thanks, man.